Welcome back to Cartoon Cast, a fortnightly podcast hosted by two adults who aren't ashamed to proclaim their love for cartoons. I'm Christina Warren.
And I'm Micah Sargent. And this week we are talking about Daria, not alone, but with special guests, Shannon Woo-hoo! Sutter. Hi, Shannon.
Hola, freakies.
Lisa Schmeiser. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. And Monty Ashley. How are you, Monty?
I love Daria so much.
Yes.
How I'm doing.
Well, it's good you're here then.
Yeah, when we put out the call on the Incomparable Slack to kind of see what shows people wanted to talk about, this was one that we obviously had a lot of interest in. And we talked about this at the end of last week's show, Micah. I mentioned that it was one that I had revisited because I was able to obtain all of the episodes with the original music.
Mm-hmm.
Holla. And the show was released on DVD 6 years ago, and I bought the show on DVD, obviously, but they did not get any of the music rights, and that made me sad. So I was rewatching it and kind of realized, like, this is one of the best cartoons, I think, that, like, ever. It's one of the only cartoons. I don't know you guys if you can think of any other examples, but I can't think of any other examples of cartoons that actually, like, could have been, like, teen television shows. Like, it had the same kind of structure and narrative and kind of pacing as any type of typical, like, teen comedy, teen, like, dramedy. But it happened to be a cartoon, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it fits, but I think it's actually a bit better than a lot of the teen
yes.
comedy, teen dramedies, because they mm-hmm. had the freedom to make the characters over the top and not seem ridiculous the way a lot of live television, if they try to push the characters too far, it gets stupid and it gets unwatchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. And plus, but at the same time, they could go crazy in other directions. They could still be mm-hmm. a cartoon. But what I mean, though, is that you got that sensibility. Like, it's a show you could actually watch and really get into mm-hmm. and get, because it, unlike most cartoons, you know, it has a plot line that is, mm-hmm. it is episodic, you know, it is week to week. And, you know, it helps when you watch the whole thing all the way through, and what happens in one episode can impact another. And you don't typically see that with cartoons.
They don't hit the reset button, which I really love. And,
oh,
yeah.
and that's rare in a cartoon.
And I also really love how subtle they are about a lot of the characterization. And it's odd to say, given how over the top, especially the teachers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can be. But, well,
teachers.
But I think a lot of that is you're, when you're looking at the characters through Daria's eyes, they seem more exaggerated. And in a lot of the episodes, when Daria is finally realizing that there are other perspectives beside her own, and it would benefit her to learn from them or to learn from other people, that's when the other characters tend to be a little bit more subtly shaded as being smarter than you thought they were, or more observant, or more compassionate, or more open-minded. Hmm. And I've always seen that as flowing both ways, where these characters were always like that, but we've been sort of encouraged to see them through Daria's eyes. And then it points out that Daria's perspective, while wildly entertaining and wildly relatable, can be deliberately limited.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. And that's something you mm-hmm. see kind of throughout the series. You know, Quinn, who's kind of mm-hmm. her... Mm-hmm. nemesis when this show starts, you know, her younger sister, who is her polar opposite and has everything going for her. You know, she's popular, mm-hmm. she's beautiful, she kind of skates by and is kind of allowed to do whatever she wants, is portrayed in kind of the early episodes, you know, as just kind of being dumb and kind of being a flake. But as the show goes on, and even starting in the second season, they start to seed this kind of idea, but it gets, maybe even the first season, but it gets more and more accurate. Like, throughout the show, you see how she's actually a more intelligent character and mm-hmm. has more going on than what Daria would give her credit for, and what maybe she even wants people to know.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. this
I have always...
Go ahead, Monty.
I've always thought that Quinn was more intelligent than she acts. In getting ready for this show, I went on Usenet to see if I could find any of the posts I made on Alt TV Daria in 1998.
What a way back machine.
That is awesome.
And I found this post I made that has a big list of evidence of Quinn not being dumb.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's got to be linked in the show notes, you realize. That's awesome.
Read it out to us. Read us some
of
this.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
Well, and I'm excluding Quinn the Brain, because that's a switch 'em up episode that obviously you could make a dumb character smart for one episode. But I mentioned their godfather-like negotiation when deciding not to tell their parents about the paintball game and the Daria Hunter. Mm-hmm. I like that she made sound decisions when it comes to boys in the episode The Invitation. She decides not to make out with Joey, Jeffy, or Jamie because she's not ready for that. Mm-hmm. Her character mm-hmm. likes having boys fight over her. She doesn't actually want to make out with them yet. She's too young for that. And generally, she makes really smart decisions about the things she cares about, which until the end of the episode, until the end of the series, just isn't school stuff or anything but clothes. The whole family is smart. Like Daria's smart, Helen's smart, even Jake is smart. He's just
neurotic,
also an idiot.
Yeah,
Jake lacks basic adulting skills, but there's nothing wrong with his brain.
No, there's not. I mean, and also I think the Jake is an interesting character because, like, he clearly has so much childhood trauma built up. You know, he has so much PTSD from his childhood that, like, you kind of mm-hmm. understand, like, a lot of his behaviors when you kind of realize, wow, his life was pretty terrible. And it's amazing that he's come through it, actually.
And mm-hmm. it's amazing that he married someone like Helen when you think about it, instead of repeating the cycle, which is another way it could have gone. And for people who are wondering what we're talking about, it's revealed, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's revealed, oh, it's when Jake has a heart attack, which is actually the episode between the two we're talking about. It is revealed that Jake's father was very emotionally abusive and terrifying, and his mother basically enabled this, and he's still working through what that all meant, and he's still a little bit in terror of his mother until Daria actually helps push mom out the door. And so it's kind of, again, it's kind of remarkable that Jake has managed to protect his wife and his kids from the same damage and from perpetuating the cycle as well.
And it's kind of amazing that a show, like a cartoon show on MTV, you know, aimed at teenage girls would even deal with aspects like that, you know, they would even like have that sort of layer of characterization, which I think is a real credit to the people who created the show and kept it on the air. You know, it aired from 98 to, or 97, I guess, to 2002. And, you know, it went through various, I think, kind of like sectors of quality. And certainly I didn't love the whole Tom storyline, but the show always felt real to life to me. I was in high school when it started, or I was in middle school when it started and was in high school during most of its run. And it felt like my actual high school experience, unlike most other shows about high school.
Yeah.
I basically lived the volleyball sequence in the credits. I'll own that. Can we talk a bit about the look of the show? Because when I was watching I was watching it last night, what struck me is how clean and basically non-dated it is. Like, you could, because there's, and just to parallel this, I recently did a rewatch of Justice League Unlimited on YouTube, on Netflix, and boy, does that scream early aughties to me. Just the style of the animation, and everyone has these heroic jaws, and the women have teeny tiny waists, and, you know, Bruce Timm has a really distinctive aesthetic that I really strongly associate with one period. But when I was looking back at the Daria episodes, what I thought to myself was, wow, this doesn't look or feel as dated as I expected it to. You know, and aside from like people actually using phones that are on walls, you know, and the complete lack of mobile devices. Yeah.
One of our episodes heavily relied on the house has only one phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Summer Lane is using it constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the moments.
Will be staring at that in bafflement.
Completely. And they're actually, you know, at a dinner table together in one of the episodes, you know, that the family is kind of talking and they're, you know, Jane is looking for something to do. Daria is reading a book. Quinn is reading the milk carton and she's trying to, Jane is trying to avoid a conversation with Helen. And it's like today everybody would just have their phones out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's much easier to avoid each other.
We actually have like a no phones rule. We have a no phones rule at our table for that precise reason, because I think all of us would dive in if we had the choice. But I was looking at like the clothes, and it doesn't feel or look that dated. And I don't know if it's because Alterna culture kind of plays out the same silhouettes, or like the stuff is so iconic. But I was like, okay, everybody is really clearly coded. Like the cowboy who rips off their money, or rather Quinn hands them the money for shopping, is pretty obviously coded to look like somebody who's big into the Wild West mythos. Trent and his band look like your classic, I do rock and roll in my garage. And that may seem a little bit dated, but like this is a show that seems to have thought really carefully about the visual representations of everybody and tried really hard to make them iconic without tying them to a specific period.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. And it works. They did alter some of the character models a little bit later, like in later seasons, Quinn, rather than having a short sleeve shirt with a smiley face, she had a longer sleeve shirt with a butterfly. But other than that, you know, they kept the silhouettes basically the same for the run of the show, and it worked. And I think you're right. You know, like Daria, her outfit and her combat boots, like I think that looks like I could see a high schooler kind of a Daria type today still wearing that. I think it wouldn't look out of place.
I do see, I do see students like that in the hallways. Yeah, as a teacher, yeah. So
yeah,
yes, it all feels familiar.
You teach that age group, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, yes, this feels, and yes, all of these different characters, I've taught them all.
Wow,
I have taught them all. Everybody from Jody, the go-getter who's got all the parental pressure to not just excel, but to represent her race, to the Quins who appear to, you know, only care about fashion and would rather be doing their makeup, to the dumb jocks, some of which are not so dumb and some of which, bless their hearts, yes, they really are that dumb. So, yes, they're all there.
So
they're all represented.
The heavens of the world.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So one of the first episode we kind of talked about this week was Pierce Me, which was where Daria is. It kind of really, it's one of the earlier episodes where you kind of delve into Daria's crush on Trent, who is Jane's older brother. And I don't know about you guys. I always loved, even though I didn't really ever think that they could have gotten together because that would have been weird, I loved Daria's crush on Trent.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it in principle. In this episode, I thought Trent behaved inappropriately and was pushing an underage girl into body piercing
She's
that she
17.
Wasn't comfortable with.
She's 17. I don't know. I guess you're probably right.
She didn't
but
seem
I guess
into
I
it
see-
until after he was like, you know, you'd look really hot with that. And I'm like, oh, weird.
So this raises a question. Do you think Trent was Trent aware of Daria having a big crush on him?
I don't think so. That's part of it.
Not yet.
I think eventually he was, but I think at that stage, no. I think he was kind of in his own kind of thing. I mean, because he never liked her that way. You know, I think that maybe later on he kind of looked like, well, maybe in a different world. But, you know, he's his kid sister's best friend, you know, and she's a cool kid. So he likes to hang out with her, but it's not, I don't think he saw that. I don't know. I guess for me, it's weird. I understand what you guys are saying, that maybe it would be like he's pressuring her into this stuff and it seems gross. Watching it as like a 14-year-old girl, I was totally like, oh yeah, I could totally be and like speaking as like a girl, I totally would have been a little bit talked into getting a piercing by a hot guy that I had a crush on, without a doubt. I totally would have done
from
it.
Your crush object, that is currency.
That is completely, and it's completely.
I didn't say it was unrealistic. I said it was inappropriate.
Well, maybe inappropriate, but I don't know. I mean, like the thing
I don't
is
think
that
it occurs
back,
to Trent. I really don't think it even occurs to him that he is being inappropriate. It's just he's off in his own little world, you know, and this is, he's treating her pretty much more or less the same way he might treat Jane. You know, it's, you know, younger kid sister type. I think if they had chosen to write it that way and Daria had put her foot down, Trent would be like, you know, okay, cool, whatever. And he just would have gone on his merry way. So.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, and you see it at the end when she takes, you know, the piercing out and it closes up, like he's not disappointed. Like he doesn't care. That it closed up. He's just like, oh, okay. You know, like it's one of those things, like she's doing it for his approval, but he wasn't doing it in a way to try to give her his approval. You know, he just thought it would look cool. He's like, oh, here, this would be fun. You know,
we can
do the special.
He wanted the deal.
Well, the Trent Jane relationship, I love it anyway, just because, all right, with the caveat, I love the whole Lane family.
Like, the Lane family's the best. That's why I had to include the episode about their family, because I was like, even though this will make our discussion episodes really Lane family heavy, like, they're great.
I just really love that family, and I love the dynamics, the way it turned out where Jane and Trent are kind of a unit where they check each other and they encourage each other. And it's nice to see the healthy sibling dynamics, especially since the show does spend so much time also on Daria and Quinn learning to respect each other or learning to treat each other like human beings. And by contrast, you have Jane and Trent, where that's basically that's the baseline. Everything beyond that is just embroidering on that theme. But I love the Lane family as a whole. And one of the things I thought was really interesting about one of the episodes we watched is how it kind of quietly puts forth the idea that there's no one perfect way to parent your children, but they'll turn out okay anyway.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have Helen, who rearranges heaven and earth to try to have dinner with her family. And I felt so bad for her because I was just imagining, I'm sure everybody who's juggled personal obligations with professional ones knows, like, you're like, okay, I've rearranged this, I've worked ahead on this, I've emailed that, I've cleared this space. And then you go and you do your personal thing and it's frustrating, or like the people involved are being surly for no reason. And you're like, why do I bother? And like, that was basically Helen's life. And on the other hand, you have, oh God, I'm blanking on her name. Pottery throwing mom.
Yeah.
And she's done, and it's evident she's Amanda, done a lot right. Amanda, that's right. And Amanda's done a lot right when you think about it, because all of her kids have had the confidence to go out in the world and just follow the beat of their own drummer.
And screw up enormously, you mean?
Well, look, two of them are enormous screw-ups, but I would argue, like, Summer at least, like, has a plan in her head of how it's going to go. Like, Summer's working in the arts.
Exactly.
Trent will always be music adjacent, and Jane is so driven and disciplined about art. And I feel like all of them got that way because they watched their mother prioritize being creative. And we're like, okay,
isn't Summer the one with two kids she doesn't care about?
No, that's Penny. Penny.
Yeah.
It goes Penny, Wind, Summer, Trent, Jane. And my feeling is that Penny and Wind probably got the short end of the stick that way, or they were supposed to be written as like a cautionary tale for what would happen if you didn't have the artistic bent in that family with a sculptor mom and a photographer dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And anything that, like,
Penny's the oldest because they would have named her Penny Lane and then got bored with the gimmick.
Well, I actually think Summer's the oldest because she's got kids.
Summer's the oldest because, exactly. Yeah. I think it probably goes Summer, Wind, or Summer, Wind, Penny, Trent, Jane is how I think it goes. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because Summer's the middle one with the parrot and the volcano issues.
Yeah.
Or as Jane puts it, starting a trade war in our kitchen.
Yeah, which I loved. I loved that, like, that she's yelling at, like, the somebody, you know, a consulate. He's like, oh, you know, your volcano ruined by art. You should compensate me. It's like, mm-hmm. I love, and to your point, I mean, kind of proof that Amanda could raise a child who would have the confidence to have that conversation, as ridiculous as
exactly.
it is.
Yeah. No, I think what I like is that Amanda very clearly put her own creative impulses first and modeled that for the kids, and they've internalized it to varying degrees of success, the same way that Helen has put forth the idea that work is what gives your life structure and meaning, but so do human relationships, and Daria and Quinn are both reacting to that, and that reaction, I think, plays out in different ways for each of them.
I think that's true. And I think it's interesting to kind of see, you know, the reaction of, you know, of the Lanes when they are at the Morgendorfers, to kind of, like, at first it seems like this will be great, you know, like, I finally have mm-hmm. structure, you know, and Trent is talking about how, you know, he left literally, like, he went and lived in a tent for 6 months and just was asking someone to come inside. And so part of him probably likes the structure, but a bigger part of him is like, you know what? No, I'm too old for this, which he is, you know, he's too old for the rules they're trying to put down for them. And I think, you know, Jane doesn't mind being at the Morgendorfer house, but likes to be a place where she can kind of do her own thing and have her own will to create and not be tied down as much. And I think it would have been interesting, they never did this, but it would have been interesting if you tried to see how Daria or Quinn would deal with the Lane household, because I bet it would be the same thing. I bet they would not be able to deal with it at all.
That would be fascinating for sure.
The benign neglect that has served us so well, as Jane says. Yeah,
Daria can hardly handle her own family.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting to see her get into that other kind of dynamic. But so surprise, perhaps this show is brand stinking new for me. And like I've heard of it, and I've heard Christina's glorious impression of Daria, and I seem to remember seeing it from time to time when I was younger, just kind of, you know, playing on, it's in my brain, and I don't know who was watching it, but it happened. But I was hoping we could pull away for a second from kind of the specifics, and I was just hoping we could go around and everybody kind of say their, you know, what it is about this show that, you know, that you like so much, especially Monty, who says that he just loves Daria. So I'm curious, you know, kind of what everyone's thoughts are just in general, in terms of, you know, kind of selling me on the show, so to speak, and especially as someone who hasn't watched it from the beginning. And so I'm not getting, you know, all the nuance of the relationships.
Well, what I liked about it when I first started watching it was that there was somebody on television I identified with, specifically Jane, who I think is just as disaffected as Daria, but is meaner about it. Daria's mean to people, but slightly passive-aggressively, whereas Jane is more aggressive in her contempt for people she has no respect for, which is practically everyone except Daria. So when I first started watching it, I was like, this is perfect for me. I was a disaffected mid-20s and loved it. But then I watched it obsessively enough to where I started really liking what depth of character they could put in. You know, I watched enough to where the three Fashion Club members who are basically identical people are not actually identical. There's the the one, like the, I can't remember that. I know there's Stacy, Sandy, and Tiffany, but I can't remember which is which.
So Sandy's the type A, she's the president. Stacy's
the really sweet one.
She's the sweet one, and Tiffany is the Asian girl who talks like this.
And basically agrees with Tiffany, whoever she thinks is winning. Line,
Yeah, exactly.
Tiffany, I always remember the line from one of the Daria books, which is, her voice is deep, her thoughts are not.
Yes.
Oh, the gift of Pith. Yeah.
That Daria book was amazing, by the way. The first one, anyway. Like, that book was amazing. It had the cutout dolls of the Fashion Club members, which I obviously never cut out because I didn't want to open. I didn't want to ruin my book that way. But that book was amazing.
Yeah, it had essential extra canonical information if you were obsessed with the show like I was.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. For me, I started watching this also in my 20s, by which point I had started teaching. And as I said, the characters resonated quite a bit with me. I'd actually heard from kids at the time about Beavis and Butthead. And so I knew what was going on there and managed to see at least one episode where Daria was the foil for those two characters. And, you know, was going like, okay, I like her. These two guys can't stand them. I like her. And then, of course, when I heard that there was actually going to be a show about it, I was on board. So watching the episodes and thoroughly enjoying, as you said, it started out first painting with broad brush strokes. And then as the seasons grew on and you got to know more about each character, they were allowed development and movement. And as we said, there was no handy dandy reset button. Things that happened in previous episodes would affect following episodes, which was rare in animation at the time. So, and it hooked me.
I was another mid-20s Daria watcher. I feel like this is a group we should because I started watching Beavis and Butthead when I was going through one of the worst episodes of imposter syndrome I've ever had in my life when I was in grad school. Like, I would just come home from writing class every day convinced I couldn't write. And then I would stay up all night and watch MTV's animation block, which at the time was Beavis and Butthead and the Max. And I actually love Beavis and Butthead mostly because it reminds me a lot of dumb teenage boys, and I kind of enjoy it. I was like, wow, they are really not pulling any punches on how these idiots are depicted. But Daria was the character who stood out and stood in my – and I was like, oh, God, this is just like my interactions with these jerk stores in eighth grade. You know, I was Daria, and those are the kids. And then when I started watching her show, what I appreciated about it was while she was the center, the show has always been willing to call Daria on her own BS.
Yes.
And point out and I really loved and appreciated that, especially since it was running at a count. It was running sort of as a tonal counterpoint to, say, Dawson's Creek, which broke big at the time, where literally no one would call Dawson on his nonsense.
No, right. you're dead on. And so I loved Dawson's Creek, but you're dead on. I started watching the show basically as soon as it started. I remember when it premiered. I think it was like early January of 1997, and I was a big Beavis and Butthead fan. I was 14. I was a huge Beavis and Butthead fan, but I really liked the Daria character. And at first I was like, well, I don't know how they're going to do this. And then the show came out and it was like, oh, this is funny and this is great. And I, in a lot of ways could kind of relate to Daria because Even though I, on the outside, have never been that misanthropic, that's kind of who I am on the inside. And so I totally associated with that, with her kind of hatred of everyone. And her relationship with Quinn really resonated with me because my sister, who is older, she's 6 years older, and I have a very Daria Quinn dynamic, and that my sister was the cheerleader and was Miss Popularity and was Miss Everything, literally. And so kind of growing up in her shadow a little bit, where I was like, I'm not this person at all, was interesting. And you never really saw those dynamics kind of portrayed on TV quite that way, where it wasn't like you're jealous of the other person. I mean, there's certainly parts of that, but it's just like you're very different people. And their household life, you know, the whole suburbia where they lived and went to high school was very Lawndale, could have been very similar to where I grew up. And so I associated with the stereotypes of the different groups and the cliques a lot. And I don't know, I just as the show went on, you know, I felt like they did a really good job of just kind of like capturing what it was like to be a teenage girl. And as a teenage girl, when it was airing, it was one of those shows I enjoyed and that my friends enjoyed, and that you would be able to have kind of conversations about in a way that you didn't see other things. And I think that that's one of the reasons why when Vulture did their big countdown of like the top teen shows, I was glad that it was in the running. It didn't make it past its first bracket. I can't remember what show it was against, but it certainly deserved to be in that list.
Yeah, I totally agree with identifying with Daria being a huge part of the reason I liked it. In my case, I am the older sister, and I was the reader, and I was the one who would stay in my room and do my own thing while my sister was in the marching band and, you know, out and about and doing all kinds of things, or watching 6 hours of soap operas a day, things like that. So I identified so much with those opposites dynamics of how our parents could produce two such radically different kids.
I also identify with the feeling that high school was really just a four-year holding pen until you got out to do something interesting.
Exactly.
Like, because I remember going to high school, and you always get this shoved down your throat that these are exciting years and these are magic and all these supposedly seminal or magical experiences. And pop culture is just as guilty of that with movies centered around prom and things like that. And I just remember sitting in class from my freshman year on thinking there is a whole big world out there filled with much more interesting people that I can choose to hang out with. The only reason I'm around these people is because we share a zip code. And all I have to do is engineer a way out of here so I can start my real life.
Right.
And what I really loved about Daria is that was their approach to high school. Daria and Jane were like, we are clocking time here because we have to, but Jane is going to go and do creative things for the rest of her life, and she's not going to care about anyone's approval. And Daria is going to go do her thing for the rest of her life and start hanging out with the people she wants to hang out with, not the people she's forced to sit next to in science classes.
Preach. Yeah, my high school experience, like Daria's, was full of people telling me, these are the best years of my life, and me looking at them thinking, I sure hope that's not true.
Yeah. Just let this not be true.
Yeah.
My best friend my freshman year of high school was a lot like Jane. She was very creative. She was very eccentric. And she and I would do things like, you know, we were the kids who would write each other, you know, multi-page notes, but we would write them backwards so that when the teacher would confiscate our notes, you know, she wouldn't be able to read what we were saying unless she got out of mirror. And like, who has time for that?
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I learned to write backwards because of that. I can still do it, but you know, you got used to it, but it was fun kind of having, like, you know, and when I was later in high school, I hung out, even though I didn't look like a goth, all of my friends were kind of the freaks, and the Lindsay Weir from Freaks and Geeks is the television character I associate most with in my life, but Daria is kind of a close second because there's just many aspects of her personality and just kind of her, you know, like, not wanting to deal with any of the BS that's happening around her, but yet at the same time still participating. That's one of the things I liked about the show, and I wanted to know if we could talk about. You know, it'd be easy to kind of look at the show like Daria is an outsider, but she's really not. You know, she's has friends. People acknowledge her. She's not an outcast. She's choosing not to really interact with them, which in some ways kind of makes her a bad person, and she can be called out for that. But it's not as if it's one of the typical, you know, a trope for television where you have the outsider who's, you know, completely ignored and friendless. That's not the case with her. She's choosing not to engage. It's not as if she's being, Beavis and Butthead, she might have been kind of the outcast, but that wasn't really the case on Daria.
I'm sure I'm not the only person on this podcast who is streamlined into gifted programs at an early age,
yes,
right?
Yeah, completely. Yep.
So
from kindergarten on.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, there are always people, there were always people in the group who were prodigiously smart. Like we're talking, turn their bedrooms into labs, or they've already mastered calculus by sixth grade smart. Like there's always one or two. And my experience with the people most likely to turn into Lex Luthor type smart was they were a lot like Dari in that they were like, I'm too smart to have to be nice. And to me, that's part of Daria is I like that she rejects the good girl conditioning. Like that is going to serve her really well through college and in the great world beyond. But I think one of the reasons she is the way she is because she's like, I don't have to, is like she realized I'm smart and I don't have to be nice to you if I don't want to. I don't see a benefit, so I'm not going to do it. And that's the way that callow smart people think, though. Like when you're young and you're smart and you're a jerk, that's kind of how you are. And again, I like that this show encourages us to empathize with Daria. And we all obviously did, but it points out that her intellect, which is one of the things that defines her the most, and her ability to not be susceptible to groupthink or conventional wisdom, which again, two of her greatest strengths as a character, they can also boomerang on her because she could benefit from people's skills. Like that is another lesson she's going to have to learn the hard way through college and beyond.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's malicious.
No.
I don't think she's malicious.
Usually
I just
not.
Think that she, no, I just think that she, yeah, and true, she does like to mess with her dad.
I think she likes to mess with adults, but with kids, I think that honestly, I don't even think she's really that mean a lot of times. She will go out of her way to help. You know, if somebody needs help with something, even in episodes when she works on a project with Kevin, she'll help him out. She'll help out Brittany. That doesn't mean she wants to hang out with them, but she's not going to go out of her way to antagonize them either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's like the person least likely to like follow a guru who advocates loving kindness. But but I honestly think that a lot of this is we're encouraged to see Daria's hubris and the same thing, which is going to be such an asset to her in her life, which is the fact that she does have a big brain and she can approach things from perspectives that are not, you know, received conventional wisdom. Like there are drawbacks. And I like that this show subtly points that out as well, because for all that in my early 20s, I might have been cheering on the way that she cuts people with a line or whatever. Like you look back at the show 20 years from there, you're like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, wow, we sure do a lot of damage to each other when we're not thinking.
Yeah. She's
in season 3 when Jane starts dating Tom, Daria's a real jerk about it.
She is. Oh, yeah. She can't
Which
deal with
I think
it.
And it goes back to the very first episode. I think it's the first episode. It's one of the first two where Jane and Daria finally meet and then Jane vanishes at a party because some guy thought her head was
Second
a lollipop.
One. Yeah.
And in that moment, I've always felt that Jane has to make a decision. Do I keep dating boys or am I Daria's friend? I'm going to be Daria's friend for a few years and then see if I can work boys back into the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
I really like
bit of push and pull with that dynamic because, as you said, Jane tends to be the one who tries other things. Like, you know, she, I think on a dare goes out for cheerleading and then decides, you know, no, this is not for me. Because a cute boy encourages her, she tries out for the track team, and she's sticking with that until finally some of the athletes make cutting remarks about Daria, and that's what convinces Jane, you know what, no, I'm going to go back to my friend. So, I think Jane ultimately does feel her loyalty to Daria, and of course Daria to Jane through most of the series too. And to go back to one thing, though, I disagree about Daria being malicious. I think, you know, that's going slightly too far. If she were malicious, she would have, like, done things like left the original editing project when she was focusing on, you know, A Day in the Life of Quinn. And, you know, she instead of embarrassing her sister, she edited the thing to make it reflect well on her. And if I remember correctly, that was nobody else's prompting. No, you know, her parents didn't get involved.
No.
Nothing but Daria deciding, you know what, this is my sister and I'm not going to be that mean. So
yeah, No, I agree with you. And I think that what I really, even though when they got into the triangle aspect, I didn't love the Tom Daria stuff. I really did like I really did enjoy though what happened with Daria when Jane started dating Tom, because I was in Jane's position when I was in high school. My best friend did not, like, we kind of both been kind of single. And when I started dating guys, and a lot of them kind of got boyfriends, like, she was not okay with it at all. And it put a strain on our relationship. And honestly, it was one of those things where it was not okay until she got her own boyfriend. And then she did the same thing to me. And I didn't care, if I'm being totally honest. I was like, yeah, go hang out with your dude. I totally get that. But like, she was like not okay with that, because I think that we'd both kind of been in a place where we weren't doing that. And then suddenly one of us was. And I loved that they kind of portrayed her. She was kind of a jerk to Jane. She really was not okay with it at all. And Jane, to her credit, you know, was always a great friend to Daria. I think sometimes Daria wasn't always a great friend to Jane. Mm-hmm. The Tom stuff being one example, you know, but like it was a really interesting way, I think, to kind of show Daria's insecurities, because so many shows with a title character like Daria, you would want would take the opportunity, I think, to like make her the hero and make her always right. And what you guys are saying is that that's one thing this show didn't do.
Right.
It was very clear that she was fallible too, and that she made mistakes too.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to wonder if it wouldn't have worked better that they reuse, instead of reusing Tom, if they'd come up with a different character for Daria today.
I agree.
If that would have worked better. Because I liked the idea of
Tom. Like one that Jane legitimately
Tom.
Hates for good reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I liked
maybe
the idea of
Tom. Maybe one with
a
personality?
Tom is the worst.
Tom is the worst.
But, you know, trying to show the different circumstances. He was from this super well-off family and was trying not to take advantage of it. So, you know, they tried to give him some quirks here and there. And they bounced well off Jane for a while. And then when they got tired of that, you know, giving Daria the chance to date was a good idea. I'm just not sure that they really needed to have Tom be the one to do it, even though, you know, once in a while they had some great conversations, but they could have done
had
that
great
as
conversations.
Friends. Yeah.
Well, they could have, exactly. I mean, and I think what bothered me about it is exactly what you said. It wasn't so much that she dated, because I thought that was great. And I even felt like in a lot of ways Tom was better suited for Daria than he was with Jane, although I liked some of the Tom and Jane moments too. It's the fact that she would go after her best friend's boyfriend, which is such it's one of those terrible tropes of television, of teen television shows that I hate that the show fell into, even though they tried to kind of handle it in a mature way and make things okay, because that is one of those things that is actually not really true to life. It's very easy in real life to not actually go out with your best friend's boyfriend. It's actually very easy not to do that. And you would think that the way
it's a violation of girl code.
It's a complete violation of girl code. And the thing
I
is,
just
the
didn't
most
like.
Go on.
I just didn't like Daria and Jane being – I didn't like them fighting for so much of a season.
Yeah, like, I think that –
I like these characters together. They're supposed to be friends. It stresses me out when they're not friends. What are you doing?
Totally. Well, that was sort of my point is that, you know, they built up, you know, years worth of us, you know, knowing that the Daria and Jane are together and are our friends and put each other first. And we saw both of them kind of do that. And then to see – you know, it's so stereotypical for a guy to come between them. And it's like, I never bought that Daria would actually be that person who would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do like that the show explored the fact that for a lot of younger women, your female friendships are much more intense and much more emotionally engaging than the dudes you may be dating. Mm-hmm. And what I did like was Daria does break up with Tom, and her friendship with Jane, like, means so much more to her by the end of the series. I mean, in the beginning, you get the sense that they become friends because there's an affinity, but it's also, well, we're circumstances. We are the two people in the school who get each other and we both want to get out. So let's socialize because we are social animals and let's be each other's support system. And then by the end of high school, I mean, you know, Daria prods Jane into applying to the academy the art school that actually wants her. And Jane's like, fine, I'll do it, but only if you get the letter of recommendation for the college you're looking at. And they hold each other responsible and they're very supportive. And I liked that you saw the give and take and the ebb and flow of the friendship and Daria learning how to become a better friend. That said, Daria, no, there are the only explanation I can think is Daria likes interacting with strange new people so little that she's like, well, I do want to date.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to bother going out to meet dudes or waiting for them to ask me out.
And he's smart.
Here it is.
And he was smart and he was funny and witty. They shared the same kind of sense of humor. You could understand why.
Yeah.
Exactly. You could understand why they would like each other. And I get that. It's just one of those things where it's just terrible. It's like, why? You know, I mean, to me, that was kind of the moment that it, and I think the show did come back from it, but I think that it jumped the shark a little bit and it was hard for me to watch. Even like I had other things going on at this point when these things were happening. I was like in high school and actually dating boys finally and doing those things. But when I would watch the episodes, when I would like record them, and I would come back and be like, why? You know, because it just didn't make sense. And then Tom was just kind of the worst. I mean, he started out, I think, with Jane kind of great. but as they got on, especially like in season five, you know, he's just kind of a jerk. And he's this type of guy who, you know, kind of puts his own opinions on things and was not good enough for Daria, frankly. It's like, no, you know.
Yeah.
I'll say this for that whole storyline. It did lead to this really heartbreaking speech by Daria. I think it might be in the first movie, but if it's not, it's towards the end of the series, where she explains how when she left Hillvale, wherever the Beavis and Butt-Heads series is set, and they came from Lawndale, she thought she'd have no friends, and then she was so lucky to find the one person in the world she could talk to. And that's why she was so sad when Jane wouldn't talk to her. And that speech was amazing. And it's one of the highlights of the series for me. I just don't
agree.
The whole season it took to get there. Yeah.
And I did think that the movie, you know, they did two movies, Is It Fall Yet and Is It College Yet? And I thought that Is It Fall Yet was a really good movie, actually. I thought that that whole thing about Jane going to the art program during the summer and you know, Daria and having to deal with it, the fallout from that stuff, I thought there was really good stuff in that. But yeah, I think you're right, Monty. You know, like, it did kind of force her to confront the fact that, like, she had this really great person in her life who, frankly, she kind of treated not great, you know? Like, don't go after your best friend's dude. Just, like, don't do it. It's not okay.
Yeah. No, well, I like that. Again, I like that this series was really willing to show us the warts on its protagonist and to show the consequences of decisions she made and to show her learning and growing from that. Because I'm pretty sure you can make the argument that all of the characters by the end of Is It College Yet are different.
Yeah.
Like, they've grown.
Yeah.
And most of them have changed for the better by the end of the series. And I liked that the writers were so generous with those characters, too. Like, even when they had them doing ridiculous things, Jake. You know, everybody got an opportunity
Jake.
Everybody got an opportunity to grow and become better people and to become happier people. And I like that. I like when writers have a spirit of generosity towards their characters. It makes me feel a lot better about spending my time on a series. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, one thing that really amused me when I was watching the two or three episodes that we talked about doing for tonight, my 14-year-old son wanders into the room. And, you know, just, you know, at first he's sort of watching with a very quizzical expression on his face. And I'm just waiting to see what happens. This is, you know, this is a child who is currently into things like Teen Titans and The Amazing Adventures of Gumball and, you know, all these, you know, strange things that I'm not paying attention to. And the thing that he was actually, and the thing that was actually getting to him, watching especially scenes between Daria and Trent, was just like, the voice actors are awful. They're not doing anything. And it's like, well, that's kind of the point, dear. They're, you know, that's their personalities. That's, you know, he's lazy and half stoned.
Musical episode.
And yeah. But yeah, it was so funny. There was a musical episode today.
Oh yeah.
And
oh my god, the musical episode.
Half the characters are either monotone, like Daria and Jane never change the tone of their voice.
No.
Brittany is always way up here. And they had to work very hard to find characters that could actually have a melody attached to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a Daria noob, I am like, you know what? Like, I'm banging my fist against my chest to say, I'm with you there, 14-year-old, because there were times when I was watching this and going, wait, are we ever going to add some personality to these? I understand, you know, that this is part of their personality and that's like the characters that they're playing and that's how it's supposed to be. But yeah, I agree. The lack of dynamics in the voice and how everyone was just speaking monotone. I mean, maybe I wasn't hanging out with the right people in high school who did speak monotone, but I didn't get that this was like a true representation of anyone, because even like I would call myself in high school one of the can't be bothered with much of anything shenanigans wise or whatever. And like, you know, with my own little group of friends and not having to worry about everything else out there. But I didn't, you know what I mean? Like I still had a personality and like they have personalities, but they don't ever bring it out in their voices or things like that. And it was funny, but at times it was like, kind of hard to keep my focus. And I will say too, I think Christina does too. We both have talked about our love for The Amazing World of Gumball.
Yeah.
He's checking all the boxes show. There. You're
totally. So. And I like Teen Titans. I actually like Teen Titans Go. Is good too,
yeah. I think the fact that we saw these two episodes that were, you know, of course Daria is the main focus of pretty much all the episodes, but also that they were Trent heavy episodes. Like if there was an episode that had more of the characters from the high school where there's more of a range of these different characters and they're allowed to show more personality than Daria does.
The party episode from season one.
Yeah.
So there are episodes where we do get some like, I don't know, modulation in the voice.
Not with those characters, but yes.
Characters talking a different tone.
Yes.
Relief.
There's a character who shouts every fifth word. That's fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, something like the field trip to the mall one where you get all the different students acting together and and you get more teachers, you get more adults and it can be done.
Good.
You should definitely just start watching it from the beginning, I would say, Micah, and you'll get into it. And so I do apologize that I ended up picking two very similar episodes, but I wanted to watch Pierce Me, and then I really wanted to talk about the Lane family dynamic, and so that's my bad. But but there also, frankly, it's really hard to just pick two episodes of Daria.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially like the conversation that we had before the show began in the Slack to try and choose which episodes we'd be watching. I could tell that this was a show that it's tough to pick and it's more about the dynamics. And I think we have to go, not the dynamics of the voice, of course, but the dynamics of the relationships of the characters. And I really think that, we have to touch again on the fact that this kind of defies typical cartoons in the sense that it is this sort of story that gets told over the course of many episodes. And that is why I think, Christina, you know, you're dead on whenever you say that this show and this cartoon is unique in that it does kind of have that feeling of teen shows of the time where you know, you didn't just watch for the current episode or whatever. This is like, I start to learn who this character is and what they do. And I mean, I was reading up on the show before we began and everything, and there are some really like sad storylines and some really dark stuff. And I like that. I like that a lot because I think that a lot of times when people think about cartoons, they think that, you know, it's this vapid, not ever serious, or there's no deeper level to it. And really, I mean, a lot of these cartoons do have those deeper levels, and this is one that it certainly does. So I really appreciated that about the show. And I did get the impression that, you know, because I think if we were talking about, I don't know, predictable cartoon, I was not expecting Daria to go and flip and be ready to get a piercing. Honestly, I thought, okay, what I'm understanding about Daria is that she's this unaffected person and like that's who she is, that's her character. And then suddenly, you know, Trent was talking about how hot it would be to have a piercing, and then she flipped and she was just going to get one. And so that showed immediately to me, I was like, oh, wait. These are like real humans. This isn't just exactly. Yeah. So I loved that. I like whenever I saw that, I thought, okay, now I'm interested because these are all characters playing real characters, and it's not just caricatures.
Yeah, that they all certainly start out as caricatures, but over the course of the five seasons, I think almost every single character, even the minor ones, get something to soften them and broaden them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, it's really rare to see Daria smile.
But she does.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It happens right at the end of the opening credits. And there's a brief moment in Les Miserables in her second imaginary world of marrying Trent where she seems happy. I was like that because high school Daria is very not happy.
Yeah. She's not. I mean,
it's imaginary Daria, I guess.
I mean, it comes down from the pilot. You know, they live in this great kind of, you know, McMansion, and she gets the room, you know, with the padded walls. You know, she's very much, she chooses that, though. That's who she wants to be herself, and it's very funny that way.
Well, I can see why she's not smiling, though, because, again, by the time you're 14, it hits you that most of the people you know mostly through an accident of geography or through the accidents of the social circles that your parents have helped you construct through, you know, extracurricular activities or who they know. And so you're like, great. I'm trapped in this place I didn't choose. You're 14. So of course you're also half out of your head with hormones. And you're like, I'm trapped in this place I didn't choose. What do I want my life to be like? Why does it have to be like this? Who am I?
Lisa,
like, most of high school like that.
You're making me have a retroactive existential crisis right now. I'm like thinking back to that time and going, oh, you're so right. It was an accident of geography. No.
Exactly. Like, you spent all this time. I think Daria's like, okay, this is what I'm stuck with. I just have to serve out my sentence. Here I go. I can do 4 years on my head. You know.
So yes. Here's
What's
a question.
Your question?
Yeah, we mentioned this before we started recording in a bit in our chat, but you all brought up the point. What would Daria be like today now that you have technology and your friendships are no longer limited by geography, but by who you run into online? You know, what would Daria do? Would she be any more adjusted than she is in the show because there's other people out there on her level and she's got more frequent communication? Or would she still be just as dour as she is now online and offline? What do y'all think?
I think she'd still be dour. I think her Twitter account, though, would have the best quips and one-liners, in which she would drag people so hard. I think that her Twitter would be amazing.
It would be under a pseudonym, though. She
of
would
course
never
it would. She would never do
name.
It under her real name. But people, when you would just read it, you'd be like the burn that she would do. But I think that she might, like, she'd be the person who, like, has the Facebook account, but, like, has, like, the photo from, like, 15 years ago that she does not want to update and doesn't like anybody's anything like that. She wouldn't be involved with that. I think she would still be kind of in her own head and dour. At least that's my take. I don't know about you guys.
My idea is that she goes to college and she goes through like a semester of severe disillusionment when she realizes that just because she chose to come here and has some control over where she is, like that doesn't magically improve things.
Right.
And she'd be like, I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I bought into that. But by the time she's a senior in college, she has both a vague idea where she wants to go, and she's got some friends, like a small group of people that get her. And my theory is that she texts with like maybe five people.
Yeah.
And like I said, my other theory is that she's now the executive producer of a reality show based on her obsessive interest in Sick Sad World. And and she's moved on to something like that. She's never going to be effusive, and she'll never be the type of person who actually thinks that commodifying her life is a career path. But I think college is going to be good for her because she will discover that she is no longer the smartest. And she'll discover there are other people who are just as smart as she is and who are just as capable at looking at situations critically. And that will be good for her. And discovering that she has to take more active responsibility in filling up her life with awesome experiences and people. Like, that will be a good discovery for her if she's capable of making them. And like you said, like Christina said, I think her Twitter account is going to get excerpted in BuzzFeed roundups constantly.
Completely. Oh, without a doubt. She would always be the one who would, like, during an award show or during some sort of event that she would, and I think one of the reasons she'd have it under a pseudonym is she would probably tweet about things she would never actually want to admit that she's tweeting about. Yeah.
You know? I also think that she probably has a Tumblr dashboard with like Stark Spangled Banner OT3 fanfic all through it, and she will die before she admits that to anybody.
Oh, you're like, so dead on. You're so dead on. Yes.
I love how much you've thought about this.
No, this is just popping into my head. It's like I'm channeling the same way. Like I said, the same way. I firmly believe that Quinn is going to be a stylist who has become a personal brand unto herself on Instagram and is making a lot of money through like affiliate deals where she like posts herself in five Old Navy outfits, and that's how she makes $50,000 that month. that's Quinn.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's when I think about like their futures, I think Quinn's probably the most successful, which is probably like kind of depressing, but also probably kind of accurate, kind of just the way these things go. Like,
yeah, I think it's never. I think she's more like her mother than Daria is. That she's willing to work hard. It's just what she wants to work for is not something that mom understands or thinks is profitable. You know, mom chose to work hard and become a lawyer because she knew that, you know, she could make a lot of money off that. And Quinn has that same drive. Mom, Helen just doesn't see how Quinn's going to turn this into a profit.
Yeah, but then
the internet happens.
Exactly.
Quinn has found her medium.
Well, I mean, exactly, because Quinn, the whole her whole series arc is she is all about branding, and she gets that implicitly. So she'd be perfect for that sort of thing. But also, I mean, I think just, you know, there's some people who just are more fortunate and have better luck, and just things come easier for them. And I think like social things and other stuff just comes easier to Quinn than it does to a lot of other people. And so she works really hard for what she gets. But yeah, I think she's probably going to be the one who like is the most successful and has a really hot husband and, you know, just or boyfriend and like does her own thing. She maybe probably still has like Jamie, Jeffy and you know, who's the other
Joey.
One? Joey, Jeffy and Jamie. It's Jamie. You know, dragging them along. They're probably still, you know, like working.
They're like
her
tech support crew. One of them runs
completely.
One of them runs her. Yeah.
One of them runs her website. Yeah, exactly. One of them exactly. They're still.
One of them takes pictures for her, and
the other one moves the boxes.
Like the third.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's it.
And they're all hoping that she'll make out with him, and she won't.
Touches on an interesting conversation that. What I find really fascinating about Daria's family, too, is you have this really open question of how you define success and how you define your value systems. Because with Helen, you had somebody who was very obviously written as a smart, ambitious woman who was achieving success on what you could argue is a really masculine set of values. Mm-hmm. Like she excelled in her career and it was law. So it's kind of a macho career. And here we are spinning out these hypothetical future careers. And Quinn's is pretty heavily feminized and also really lucrative. And I feel like that kind of points to a larger conversation about how easy it is to devalue stereotypically feminine interests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of like the idea.
You've laid it out
like
there
the
now.
Idea that Quinn, I have, but I like the idea that Quinn realized, because again, Quinn is smart, that she realized early on that, hey, you know, the stuff that people think I'm interested in is kind of shallow and dumb. But I see that there's a lot of influence to be had in here. I'm going to get good at this because I like it and I'm interested in it and I'm going to own it. And this is my way of being 100% me. And I think it's interesting that Daria is actually a lot more susceptible to conventional and perhaps even male-oriented thinking with this is what's deep, this is what's shallow, this is what's successful, this is what's not. Whereas Quinn's like, success is what I decide it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Quinn's like, I like what I like and I'm going to like what I like. And damn you for telling me that I'm any less, you know, lesser than. This is what I like and I'll make it work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why Quinn is going to be successful now is because like a lot of people who have managed to create entire careers that were unimaginable 5 years ago, she's like, I'm interested. I'm a success because I say I am. And people are like, yeah, you're great. So there you go. And Helen, who is probably running point on some Hillary Clinton campaign office this year, is like, all right, honey, can I get you to wear this t-shirt? And Quinn's like, yeah, no, I was like I was telling Ruby before the podcast started, like for some reason, I was in the shower this morning. I popped in my head. I'm like, I wonder which one of the characters would have Instagram accounts and what they would look like this year. Well, because they graduated from high school in 2002. They're all in their late 20s and early 30s now. So I was thinking about, okay, who's likely to be the mommy blogger? Okay, what is Jane's? What is Jane's Instagram account like? And I was like, oh, Jane does
exactly.
Art.
It's all of her art. She has an Etsy shop where she's selling a lot of really cool jewelry and other stuff. And it's probably doing pretty well with it. She probably is also doing other installations. But her Etsy kind of jewelry business is just, it probably says sarcastic, you know, things on it. Like I ordered a ring for a friend of mine earlier this year that says something like yes bitch, and I think that would be the sort of thing. It was the silver handmade ring, and it was like engraved that way, and I feel like that would be the sort of thing that like Jane would make.
I like the idea that her boyfriend's a comic book writer and she's an artist and they have a self-published title too.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So the question is, did Trent ever get anywhere with Mystic Spiral? Did they change the name?
I do not know.
No, it's a terrible band, but they all stayed in it forever.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so depressing to think about where he'd be now.
I mean, I think he's still at home.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I think he's still at home, though.
He does not change.
He does not change.
No. And he doesn't even run a website.
No, because he can't use the computer. Like, he never wanted to even get involved enough to do that. So it's like he's still at home, still thinks that he's 25, even though he's now 45. And it's like, no, that's, you know.
Yikes. Daria's so first imagination about where Trent would be at, 100% accurate.
Probably, completely. Yeah. That's exactly what I agree. I'm going to stay probably on this 100%. Couch until it gets better.
Yeah, no, it was a little bit like, I'm sure, has this ever happened to you where you're either reading something and you stop and you realize the age the characters were or currently are, or you're watching TV and you realize the age the characters would be now and you're like, whoa, and then, huh, I wonder what happened to them.
Totally. And it's depressing, like, when you, like, literally, like, because, like, my, like, high school, them, like, completely, like, paralleled Daria's, and I'm like, oh my God. Graduated in 2002. That's so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, God help us. They had to remind us that the Breakfast Club was 32 years ago.
Oh my God.
I still now. Hate that movie. Like,
I love that movie.
32 years has not diminished my irritation with that movie.
those are fighting words. But that's
some unpopular opinions you've got there.
They are, and I'll defend them. Maybe
that's a topic maybe for that's another
the
podcast. Next
defend the indefensible. It is. Mm-hmm.
Like,
but I think we're all brought together with our love of Daria.
Totally.
Yeah.
It could be a reverse unjustly maligned episode where the person who is the only single person who actually maligns it comes on and talks about why they malign it.
Unjustly lauded, you could call it.
Oh, I'm getting lost, everybody. But you're back.
Yes.
Now. Oh, no.
Yes. We're back now. Yeah.
Yeah. This stupid free internet service. Grr.
Yeah. My door Skype is being naughty.
Yeah, no, that is the weird, that is the one thing that is notably different in the series, going back to, going back and watching it, is thinking about the complete lack of connectivity.
Yeah.
Like, there are no mobile phones, nobody is looking on, nobody is scrolling through their phone to find the location of the sheriff's office on a map.
Nobody's live tweeting Six Ad World.
Paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Like in the episodes we watched, there was one where Daria receives a call at home, but everyone's confused because naturally they assume the call is for Quinn and it goes through two people before it gets to Daria, which is just inconceivable now.
Exactly. Now, literally, like, Trent probably would have texted her or whatever, you know, and his whole phone call where he has to, like, wait for Jane to walk
out of the room
away from the kitchen because he doesn't want to get caught. It's like, now you would just text, you know, it is very funny, how much that has changed. I think there were some episodes where, like, Daria had, like, a website and there was, who's the nerdy kid,
Chuck.
With the red hair.
Oh, Upchuck.
Upchuck, you know, like, made a website for Quinn or something. I mean, they had some technology things of the day, but it was not one of those things that was integrated into the show at all, which I think is one of the reasons why, even though it's not realistic, the show works. Mm-hmm. Because now it would be really hard to kind of be like, oh, well, how are we going to kind of have these conversations and storylines when everybody's
At sign of the times.
Yeah, I think Quinn has the website.
Yeah, and they were just touching on the things that were beginning to happen in the 90s. Like, there's the episode in the fifth season where Daria and Jody and Upchuck are going for the same scholarship, and Chuck's whole big deal is that he's trying to create his own internet startup the way the guy who's offering the scholarship did, that he's, you know, he's got his idea and he's got his website, and he, of course, there's no way to actually market what he's doing yet. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. So they were starting to get there, just like we were in the 90s.
Yep. Oh, so 90s. And note that Quinn has the website. Of course, Quinn is out ahead of it. Our little Instagram princess.
Well, I wonder, what was I going to say? Wow, words are hard. No. Does anyone have any last
thoughts? Just keep
thoughts
putting them out. They'll coalesce.
Daria, before I ask a very tough question. So, typically at the end of the show, Christina and I discuss what cartoons we're watching other than the one that we're talking about. So if you haven't been watching any other cartoons this week, what's a cartoon that you can recommend that people should check out? And it's okay if it repeats, past shows. We're just curious, you know, what other cartoons do you like? And let's start with Shannon.
Oh, that's tough. It's been my work has been absolutely a madhouse. So I've actually been watching almost zero television of any kind. Favorites include things like Bruce Timm's DC Universe, Batman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited, stuff like that.
All good ones.
That's all that's coming to mind at the moment that at least is from this century. I mean, I'm also a sucker for the classic Bugs Bunny stuff I grew up with. But
I love those too. And Lisa, how about you?
So what I watch with adults, actual grownups, Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
And I'm super excited about the return of Archer, the pending return of Archer. And on my own.
Any non-H. John Benjamin options?
No, that's my unilateral rule. No. No, on my own, I've been catching up on Star Wars Clone Wars on Netflix. But I also want to point out that I have a 5-year-old daughter. And so we watch, she gets to watch TV 3 nights a week. And we've been watching a lot of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Oh, boy.
I have begun to develop very strong opinions about it.
Who's the best pony, Lisa?
Who's the best pony? I would have to argue that it is probably, I like Fluttershy.
Fluttershy. The internet will come after you probably. I don't know.
I would actually say I've never seen even one episode of that show, but I would say Fluttershy too for the weirdest reason of all. There was a website that did they worked with an independent perfume company to create a couple of perfumes. Fluttershy was one. I forget the other one, but I bought Fluttershy because it had all the notes I liked in it, and I treasure that tiny little sample because it's such a pretty perfume. So, yes, that's my really weird connection to My Little Pony.
I really dislike the princess structure, and, like, at one point, Phil and I keep threatening to do a podcast called Phil and Lisa Ruin Your Children's Comic Shows because – my daughter went through a Sophia the First phase, and I have live hate tweeted episodes of that when she's been watching it because I've disliked it so much. So, like, My Little Pony, I can get behind, even though I'm still like, why must there always be monarchies? And why are the ponies wearing dresses during ceremonial events? But anyway,
one of them makes dresses. You have to justify it.
I know. Rarity makes dresses. I also really hate that I know all of their names and their vocations. And I just want to get back to the Star Wars stuff. But if you ever want to discuss My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, I'm here for that podcast because they do some surprisingly funny and jokes obviously meant for long-suffering parents. Like, they do a lot of that, and I appreciate that too.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It sounds like we're going to have to talk about it at some point because there's a wide world of My Little Pony lovers out there. So we got to tackle it sometime. And Monty, what about you?
Well, it recently wrapped up its run, but I am pitching Gravity Falls to anybody who will listen. It's such a good show. It's about these two kids who get dropped off in a tiny town in Oregon for the summer. And where they live with their Grunkle Stan, who owns a mystery shack which sells rip-off Bigfoot gimmicks. The two kids are twins. The boy, Dipper, quickly becomes obsessed with the weird goings-on in this city, and there are a lot of them. There's gnomes and vampires and sea monsters, and I think that's only the first 3 episodes. And his sister, Mabel, is obsessed with boys. And she's played by Kristen Schaal in a completely different role than Louise Belcher. Mabel is the most adorable, sweetest kid ever. And Dipper and Mabel barely fight. They are the best team brother and sister character I can think
of. Wow.
So often they'll be like, our goals do not match up. Okay, let's do your goal. And over the course of this one summer that they're in Gravity Falls, things go absolutely crazy. Supernatural events happen all over the place. And it ends in a three-part apocalypse episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-on apocalypse, too. It's great.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm looking up on Wikipedia now. It was on the Disney Channel and then Disney XD. So where would those of us who want to watch it, where would we find it at this point? DVD?
I don't know. I don't think it's been released in a proper DVD set. It's one of those things where they release four random episodes at a time.
Jeez.
There's probably some way to watch it. It might involve the Disney XD app on like your Xbox One or something. If you have an Xbox One, I don't know.
I don't.
But if you can see it.
If you have a cable subscription.
It's really so good.
Yeah, if you have cable, I think you can log into the. It might be on demand or the Disney XD app. It's on Roku. It's also on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. It's on iPhone, iPad. So it might be on that.
Christine is very good about this. I just ask her.
Good. Thank you. Awesome. Yeah.
The continuity sneaks up on you. It's the kind of show where in the first episode, the kids get gifts and Dipper says, I want a new hat. And Mabel says, I want a grappling hook. And then 15 episodes later, the grappling hook comes into play. And then 10 episodes after that, she saves the day with her grappling hook. And it's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I have to watch this show now. I have to watch this show.
Yes. I know. So good. Well, when you find out how to get a hold of it, like post it in the Slack for the rest of us. Because now I'm obsessed. Right. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry and I see that J.K. Simmons did a voice. So I'm all, because that's very exciting. And so did Linda Cardellini and Neil deGrasse Tyson's been on it. And Nathan Fillion and T.J. Miller and Jennifer Coolidge and Will Fort and Steve. Stephen Root.
Oh, Stephen Root. Oh, that's amazing.
Also, for some reason, one of the weird townspeople is the voice of Neil Hamburger. I don't know why Neil Hamburger is on the kids' show, but he is.
Well, it looks like five episodes anyway, or four episodes are available on watchdisneyxd.go.com if you have a cable login, but there are probably other ways to get it. I would imagine maybe iTunes or something. So
so you can get it on iTunes and Google Play by paying for it, or the Watch Disney XD seem to be the only two ways. So I have got to watch this show.
Yes, really now good. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, now I want to, I'm on board too. I want to watch
like
this
like we've
now
got
too.
A new show to talk about on Cartoon Cast.
It does.
Yes.
Mission accomplished.
Yes, you've succeeded in convincing us at least. So that's awesome. Well, yes. Christina, what about you? What cartoons are you watching this week?
Okay, so in honor of Daria, I was thinking about like whatever like high school based MTV cartoon I could suggest or watch, and I think that some of you might know where I'm going with this, and so obviously I'm saying Clone High. Which any of you guys ever watch Clone High?
No,
I did not. I think I saw an episode or two,
some episodes, and was not a fan.
Okay, I'm a big fan of Bill Lawrence, who's created Scrubs, and he created this show. It's an animated show that's about a high school that's populated by clones of famous people. I really like the subversive comedy. I think it's very good. It had a lot of famous kind of voice actor stuff. Will Forte, Nicole Sullivan, Krista Miller, who's Bill Lawrence's wife, who I quite enjoy. I really liked the show, and it was one of those things. It only had 13 episodes, and it aired. You know, the way that it aired was it was on MTV and it was kind of buried. But I loved it, so I'm watching Clone High.
I feel like it was on MTV and it was kind of buried. Could pretty much be tagged to almost every animation offering that they've had,
like post Daria.
Now that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, except Dario, they gave a lot of love, and they even like showed that on the Inn and is now Teen Nick. But yeah, you're right. After that, like they had like the Beavis and Butthead, Aeon Flux, you know, the kind of era, and then Daria, and then like they just kind of buried anything that they came out with cartoon wise, other than maybe like Celebrity Deathmatch. I guess that got buzz.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Hey, without that show, we would not have Robot Chicken, and that's a fact.
Good point. Robot Chicken is great.
Robot Chicken, so good.
What about you, Micah?
Well, I played it simple this week. I had fallen behind on Clarence, and for our special guests here today, and for listeners who might just now be checking out the show, definitely go back and listen to the episode "Professional Fart Meetings," where we actually got to talk to
Spencer Rothfeld.
the head writer and voice of the main character in Clarence. Clarence, his name is Spencer Rothbell, and he was just a delight to have on the show. And so I've been catching up on Clarence this week and texting Christina about it.
Yes.
It's such a fun show. I really just like that show so much. And again, this is one of those where there are so many, you know, layers to these characters, despite the fact that it really is more aimed at younger people. And I get so much out of it. So, yeah. All right. I think that takes care of it.
I think we're all taking notes. Clarence.
Yes. Yes. Write down Clarence for sure. And you can watch
it. So good.
I'm pretty sure that one's on the first season on Netflix, Christina?
It is. I think it is. The whole first season on Netflix and it's some of the newer episodes are on like Cartoon Network app and .com if you have cable login. It's also on Hulu. Yeah. It's on Hulu.
Yes,
but that's what it is. It's not on Netflix. It's on Hulu. So yeah, Clarence is the best.
It's so fun. It's a great show and like knowing that I got to talk to the voice behind, I don't know. There's just, it's so cool. I loved getting to talk to him. I was, frankly, we were both fangirling whenever he read a part of our outro, in Clarence's voice. And I think I died for a good 2 minutes and came back to life. It was great. So Christina, where can people find you online before I ask all of our special guests that same question? Yeah.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, et cetera, @film_girl. And you can find my writings, which are not about cartoons, but about technology, go figure, at Mashable.com.
And you? Shannon, where can we find you online?
I am on Twitter and Tumblr as StarFury10. And my husband and I and our good friend Erica Ensign do a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast, The Audio Guide to Babylon 5, at b5audioguide.com.
Awesome. And Lisa, how about you?
The best place to find me is probably Twitter at L Schmeiser, LSCHMEISER, as opposed to L Schmeiser with like the Spanish. No, it's not L Schmeiser. It's L Schmeiser. And also I'm on a lot of incomparable podcasts.
So yeah, I've heard you before. Uh-huh. Monty, what about you?
Mm-hmm. I am on Tumblr at Monty_Ashley. I am on Tumblr at Monty Ashley with no underscore. I am on a wide variety of incomparable podcasts. I believe the new season of Total Party Kill will be starting up shortly with me in it. And I am on several episodes of Pod for Ham, the podcast where we talk about one episode or one track of Hamilton each week. I also write about television for previously.tv. That is the end of the URL. It's .tv, not .com.
.tv.
I write about Arrow and Gotham and I read about Arrow and Gotham and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Face Off, which are all airing right now. So I am always very sleepy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I should have mentioned, I'm also doing Previously TV. Like right now I'm writing about Daredevil and it's so depressing. No, I'm actually, as soon as we finish recording this, I have to go write 2 Daredevil things, but I also write about Lucifer for them. So look for Monty's stuff, which is on Previously TV almost every day and is great.
Awesome.
And the Lucifer stuff usually comes out on Tuesday mornings.
Previously.tv. Well, you can't find me at Previously.tv, but you can find me on Twitter at Micah Sargent and find all of my work over at Newsy.com. Christina, where can we find the show notes for this week?
You can find our show notes at theincomparable.com/cartooncast/10. Be sure to give us a rating or review in iTunes. It really helps. And tell your friends about the show.
Yes, and you can also follow our Tumblr of curated cartoon coolness at cartooncast.co or find us on Twitter at cartoon_cast. That's all, folks.